Joining us now, he's down in Augusta with the Augusta Chronicle. John Boyette joins us. John, what's going on this morning?
Hey, good morning, guys.
So, you know, we were just talking about this at the break. I mean, you got Tigers coming back in pretty decent form. Guys like Jason Day have won. Bubba Watson's won. Phil Mickelson's won. Justin Thomas is playing well. George Spieth says it doesn't matter how well he's playing, that he's always going to play good at Augusta. Is there a different vibe this year than we've had the last couple years?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, we've got a great cast of winners coming into this year's Masters, and there's never a bad Masters per se, but, you know, the fact that Tiger is back and he's playing well, I think that just elevates it to a whole nother level.
And is the buzz palpable down there? I mean, I know the community never sort of, the community's always excited when it gets to be Masters Week and leading up to it. But is there, you know, with everybody playing so well, is there a noticeable buzz?
Yeah, and I think you probably see that mostly in the secondary ticket market. And,
yeah,
you know, I think the prices have reflected that.
We were just talking about the secondary ticket market and then the few letters that Augusta sent out recently.
Yeah, and I should put on my Augusta hat and say that that the only official place to get Masters tickets is Augusta National in the Masters tournament. But apparently they have been cracking down on people who have been trying to resell them, and that's a dangerous game. I'm fortunate enough to get some tickets every year, and I would never try to do that.
Yeah, I mean, do you think the crackdown has more to do with the people sort of taking advantage of the system or really profiting off of it, or Masters' decision to keep it an affordable event if you're fortunate enough to get tickets?
Well, I think it's probably a little bit of both. I mean, if you've been paying attention for the last 10, 15 years, they've kind of systematically taken away things from – I'm not saying they're trying to squash the the local business people, but, you know, they created the free parking, which, you know, there was a huge – secondary market for people to park in somebody's yard for, you know, 15 or 20 bucks. You know, so now they've got all the free lots, you know, down past Berkman's Road. And, you know, they started their own hospitality house, Berkman's Place, you know, which is, you know, probably, you know, the ultimate place to go if you're coming to the Masters. So, you know, things like that. And, you know, I mean, the Masters badge has always been, you know, ridiculously underpriced. I mean, the $375. Who wouldn't pay $375 for a 4-day, you know, pass to the Masters?
Right.
But it's obviously it's worth a lot more than that. But, you know, they're not trying to make money off of their patrons.
Do we see at some point? I mean, it may be 5 years, it may be 10 years down the road. But do we see almost like a Vatican City to Rome? Do we see its own little its own little area where you get there and you don't have to deal with anybody else in terms of the local businesses? I mean, you're going to have restaurants and, you know, all this stuff that you, once you get in, you don't have to worry about doing anything else. Are we going to see that at some point?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest hurdle to that would be that Washington Road is a pretty, you know, main thoroughfare for Augusta. And it's a 4 lanes right there in front of the club and kind of controls there. My directions are bad. I'm gonna say the southern border, but I think if the founding fathers of Augusta, if they could have bought up even more land back in the day, you know, that would have been the ideal situation. But they struggled a little bit back in World War II. So it's they have bought, you know, a lot of properties around, you know, across the street from the golf course and all that. But there have been some holdouts. I wonder if the next opportunity for them is to do something with a hotel or, you know, something to tap into that market. So who knows? They've got the resources to do whatever they want.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to fault the founding fathers. They had no idea what this was going to become and has become. And I think when Mark talks about like a Vatican City experience, yeah, they have to be cognizant of the other 355 days of the year as well. That is, that something like that is very expensive to have sit empty for the rest of the year. So, well, normally when we've had you on, there's some major weather issues. I mean, this winter has been, you know, schizophrenic, I think, at best for the South and the Mid-Atlantic. Is there anything going on at the course? I mean, I know there's not a tree felling or anything like that we need to talk about this year, but is there anything going on at the course to affect conditions or even how it will appear on TV? Are the azaleas going to be in bloom and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's the question now is that, you know, it seems like the azaleas are blooming a little bit earlier, you know, and you can take your own crack at why that happens. But I'm not a scientist by any measure. But, you know, like in my yard, you know, my azaleas are doing pretty well. And, you know, the old joke is that, you know, oh, they put the azaleas on ice. Well, if you do the math, that'd be a lot of ice. the 13th hole is a. You know, 7-Eleven would run out of ice in a hurry. the 13th hole, just the left side over there, I think they've got over, you know, like 1,500 azalea plants over there. So I think some of them, there'll still be a lot of color. You know, I went out there to the media center on Thursday morning to drop off some stuff, and, you know, the azaleas around that area were pretty spectacular.
Yeah, you know, and we always have our man Brad Panovich on that kind of gives us a weather forecast, and it's looking like it's going to be a little bit cooler, maybe some showers earlier in the week and or as the week goes on. So it's going to be an interesting thing to see how it plays out. I guess, you know, I mean, players don't necessarily mind rain as much as they mind wind. I mean, have you seen any forecasts? Is there going to be any gusty winds? Because that's the thing that plays havoc down in Amen Corner.
Yeah, that was the problem the first two rounds last year. I think he had gusts up to 30 miles per hour, and that really played havoc with the field. The forecast, I looked at it yesterday, and excuse me, the you know, Monday and Tuesday are going to be pretty warm. I think it's going to be in the mid-80s. And then Wednesday we've got a chance of having some storms come in, which, you know, is unfortunate because that's the par 3 day. So hopefully then that got washed out last year, if you recall. And then I don't think there's a lot of wind coming, but you know, maybe Saturday or over the weekend we might get some rain. So, knock on wood, these are long range forecasts, and you know, who knows what's going to happen.
Well, we're talking to our good friend John Boyette from down at the Augusta Chronicle, and you know, we talk a lot about you know, it's really a lot of conjecture and rumor about what's going to happen down at the course, and we spoke briefly about the infrastructure that could change, but we're looking at changes to the golf course. And I'm certainly not in favor of continuing to find places to lengthen it. If they want to make the course more challenging, I'm in favor of narrowing the fairways and maybe having the second cut of rough be longer or something like that. I think what they did lengthening, I think it was number 8. They made it from, you know, what used to be an awesomely dramatic hole with a lot of risk reward second shots to now nobody's going for it. And it's become sort of a middling hole. Locally, what are you hearing about changes that are, you know, maybe a foot over the next 5 years for the course itself?
Well, we reported on our website our that's devoted to Masters content. It's called Augusta.com. And back in January, I reported a story that we found some plans that they are going to lengthen the fifth hole, which is, you know, it's pretty stout par four right now. It's got the two bunkers on the left. It plays about 455. And the plans, you know, that's where the old Berkman's Road was, like the western border of the golf course. So they were going to, now that they control that, they're going to push the tee box back around that old road. You know, so they'll probably play close to 500 yards. And Augusta National has not confirmed that is going to happen, but they've got these plans on file, and they say they're preliminary and they're exploring their options, but. I've never known them to not, you know, do something like that and then change their mind. So I'm expecting that something will come out in the next few weeks that says, hey, we're going to start doing this in May. And so the fifth hole will be the most, you know, likely choice to get lengthened. The club also purchased land from Augusta Country Club last summer. And Augusta Country Club's ninth hole ran right behind Amen Corner there, behind the 12th green and the 13th tee. So they've got that area. And I guess the big debate is, do you push the tee back at 13, or do they really want this land for like a perimeter and where they can get trucks and heavy equipment back in there? So those are the two things that I think Fred Ridley's going to, you know, jump on first.
Well, John, I imagine the politics are very interesting. I mean, Augusta has so much juice in the area. When they file plans for something, I mean, how's the relationship between the club and like the zoning board? I mean, does it ever get contentious, or does the club just rule the roost?
Oh, I think it's a very friendly relationship. You know, I don't know how closely you follow the whole Berkman's Road thing, but they pretty much paid for the rerouting of Berkman's Road from the club standpoint, and to get that project moved up. So, yeah, they've got unlimited money. Not unlimited, but they've got plenty of money for that. And, you know, it's a deal where the local option sales tax was going to pay for that. And, you know, the state is paying the club back, or the city's paying them back. So I don't know all the I's and E's on that, but crossing the T's on that. But it's, you know, they pretty much get what they want, from what I can tell.
So if someone ran for local office on the platform of we're going to control Augusta and stop, you know, and take the power away, they'd probably lose.
Yes.
Okay.
Back when the whole women's member controversy was going on, you know, for a lot of people in Augusta, you know, the Masters week is a second Christmas, a 13th month. I mean, it's a pocketbook issue. So, you know, people make a lot of money off of it from secondary events and related events to the tournament. So it's good for the goose.
You know, it's interesting, and I was just thinking about this. You know, we always talk about the USGA and the US Open and them almost trying to control the score and maybe trying to keep the score around, you know, even par, or where par is a good score. Do you ever maybe get the sense that, you know, with things like lengthening number five, I mean, you know, not traditionally a super easy hole, but not necessarily a super hard hole. Do you almost get the feeling like that maybe sometimes Augusta looks at certain holes and goes, okay, we don't want this to be as much of a birdie hole as we want it to be a good par hole, and does that help control the score so that we're not getting 10, 11, 12, 13 under par, but we're maybe staying around 7 or 8 under par? Do you ever kind of get that sense?
Yeah, I mean, I think for Augusta, they want I'll say the word shot values, and, you know, I think the whole thing when Hootie Johnson was lengthening the course back around the 2002 and 2006, you know, in their mind, the club wants, you know, guys to hit, you know, what Bobby Jones and Alistair McKenzie envisioned, you know, for the second shots. So, you know, I think the best example of that was, you know, early 2000s, Hootie wandered down to number 11, and Phil Mickelson had hit such a long drive that he was basically chipping to the green. He didn't have a full shot to 11. So, and 11 is supposed to be, you know, a pretty hard hole. I mean, Hogan's always saying, if you see me aim for that green, you know, I missed, or, you know, because the pond's there on the left. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they want guys hitting more club into it. And I think at number five, first of all, there's a logistical issue because the fourth green was right up next to the fifth tee. So I think if they do something with it, push the tee box back, it'll alleviate that congestion. But, you know, a lot of guys were hitting three wood off the tee there and still having a short iron into the green. So I think they're trying to put driver back into their hands on a few holes.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like that, you know, and one of the great things that we always get out of the Masters is we know it doesn't start till the back nine on Sunday, and we want to see guys kind of survive 10, 11, and 12, and then make birdies potentially on 13, 14, 15, and then maybe some drama on 16, and then hang on 17 and 18, and that's what we're used to. And it almost seems like, you know what, hey, if you hang on a number one, you can birdie two, and number three, I was talking earlier that I just assume to move the tee markers up and see, you know, let more guys go for the green. Because even if you hit it on the green on number three, you might five putt, you know? I mean, so that maybe
yeah.
create more drama like that. And you know, number four has become such a long par three, you know, 230 yards to that pin tucked over the bunker. Nobody can get close to it. So maybe, you know, do you move it up and let guys hit 7 and 8 irons to a really tucked pin? And if you leave it short, it buries in the bunker. I mean, again, bring back the shot making, but it doesn't necessarily have to be more distance, but maybe on a few holes it does.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the start at Augusta, I mean, it's really tough. I mean, one's obviously a hard hole, and, you know, then you got a breather at two, and then, you know, three, four, and five can all jump up and bite you. You know, six, if you get on the wrong part of the green where the flag isn't, you know, you're in trouble. So it's a very challenging start there. And, you know, I think the first couple of days they try to keep the scores in check, and then they want the guys to put on a show on Saturday and Sunday.
All right, John, before we let you go, it's going to be probably the smallest field in 20 years, but also where the best players in the world are playing their best golf right now. If we gave you two picks and a dark horse, who you got?
You know, I've been telling people that I like Justin Rose. I mean, I think there's just a pattern of guys who and I haven't looked up all this data, but there's a pattern of guys who, you know, finish, you know, second the year before, and then they come back and play well. And, you know, Justin Rose is certainly playing well, and I'd put him in my top two picks. You know, I think Rory McIlroy, I think he's worked on his putting. You know, I think he drives the ball very well. And that's what I don't like about Tiger. I'm worried about him missing it left. And he can't do like he did in Florida where he hit a lot of irons off the tee. I think he's going to have to hit his, you know, 3-wood, and, you know, he's going to have to hit driver on a few holes. So if he plays well, though, if he figures that out, then who knows what will happen. You know, as far as a dark horse, gosh, you know, there's always somebody that comes out of the pack that you don't expect. And I'm going to go with my man Kevin Kisner. He's been playing well and did well at the match play last week. And if the weather's good, he's got a chance.
Well, John, man, we always love talking to you and getting the vibe down at Augusta as we head into the Masters. And great talking to you. Have a great week out there.
All right, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot. That's John Boyette, the Augusta Chronicle. And make sure you check him out.